Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Doug Donaldson, CEO of Play Sports TV, a youth sports coaching and instructional website. He's also a coach and a sports parent. Our topic, parents' expectations. Joining us is my brother, mental game expert, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Lisa.
Thanks for joining us. Now, Doug, tell me a little bit about your experience in youth sports. You've been a coach for a while.
I have been a coach for about 4 years now. My first coaching experience was when my son had turned 8, and I, at the time, thought I was getting the short straw when my wife told me I was going to be coaching his second grade basketball team. So at the time, I rolled my eyes and thought I was not going to be prepared at all, but fast forward 4 years, I've now been coaching basketball, recreational soccer for 4 years, and then my passion, which is I'm the head coach for unfortunately a very, very competitive league here in central New Jersey called Lightning Lacrosse.
And that's unfortunate?
Well, it is in the sense that the expectations of parents and of the community, because it is we are in a very competitive league, are probably more than I might put against 46th graders, at this time. You know, I'm already nervous. We've already got registration is already up 20-30% from last year for my particular team, and there are kids that are first year kids. So I'm already trying to figure out how are they going to be integrated effectively with some of the kids I've got who've been now playing lacrosse for 4 years, 5 years, even though they're only in sixth grade.
Interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about parents' expectations. So obviously as a coach, you have a fair amount of experience with that.
I do. I will admit that I am a sponge when it comes to trying to learn how to be a better coach. My wife, the reason I got into coaching is, besides my wife telling me I was going to, is I was one of those loud parents on the sidelines, and she said, look, you can't do this anymore. Either you're going to bite your lip or you're going to coach. And so I realized I was going to coach. And so I bought every book, you know, I bought every dummy's guide to coaching and all of that. And I kind of took the best of all of those in terms of how I've tried to position myself as coach. So literally on the first day of every season, I have two meetings. And one is a meeting with the kids and one is a meeting with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And those meetings, I make it a very important part of my mission to set up goals for a season. Now, the way I approach goals for a season with kids is certainly different than I approach goals for the season for the parents. With the kids, I say, what do we want to achieve? We put it on the boards, and that list gets put into my computer and pulled out the last day of the season or at our final picnic. And to a fault, we've achieved all of our goals. I mean, sometimes there's somebody who says, I want to score 1,000 goals, and certainly that doesn't happen, but, you know, for the most part, it's about having fun and improvement, and we achieve those goals every year. So with the parents, it's somewhat different because I make sure that I instill my coaching philosophy. And my coaching philosophy is everybody's playing different positions, everyone's going to learn this game, and everyone's going to want to come back the next year and play the game. And I make that very, very clear. Certainly, we all enjoy the competitive nature of sports, but it's important for them to understand that I'm going to get every kid to play and I'm going to get every kid to enjoy the game. Now, if they don't come back because they then choose to play baseball or whatever it might be, that's great, and I don't have a problem with that. But I want parents to know there's no favoritism and everyone's going to play the game.
Now, not all parents are happy with that message, correct?
You know, they all kind of smile and nod, and then a few weeks later I'll hear grumblings from parents. I think a great example of that is about 3 or 4 weeks into this last year, I was using a team-based web management service company, and one of the features on there was statistics. And I had heard from an older coach, a coach of an older team, that he was putting up the statistics, in this case for lacrosse. So it was ground balls, goals scored, all of this. And so I thought, hey, you know, again, probably naively, I said, well, I'm going to do that. That sounds great. And so here I am with these fifth grade kids of various levels of skill. And so I put up these statistics. Actually, one of the parents, interestingly enough, volunteered to do it. And, you know, perhaps it was because he had said they did it in hockey and it was fun. So I let him do it. And that went up on our team site. Within 90 minutes, I got four parents, interestingly, all with older kids, meaning they'd gone through this process before that said, Doug, wrong idea. You know, the last thing you want to do is have statistics up there. And I kind of said, well, you know, why? You know, I a bit naive. And they were 100% correct. You know, I thought about it more, and I understood that it totally messed with the expectations that I'd set forth at the beginning of the season, and it all of a sudden put kids thinking selfishly, which is the opposite of what I wanted to do in a team game like lacrosse.
And
so I pulled them down.
It also puts a lot of pressure on them. I shared this story with Doug, which was at one point in my son's basketball career, he used to ask me to videotape his games, and then he would compile every kid's statistics. And at one point he said to me, stop doing it. It's just putting way too much pressure on me.
Yeah.
So he figured it out for himself pretty quickly.
No, you're right. I mean, I was silly to do it, and I will admit that. And so I'm always learning. One of the things I'd like to do this coming year, and I've heard this can work in a very positive way, is a kind of creative use of hockey's plus minus ratio, which has to do with when particular kids are on the field, because what you're doing is and I don't have the exact formula, but when each kid has a plus minus ratio, and it's when they're on the field during goals for or goals against. What it does do, if done effectively, and again, I'm going to certainly do more analysis before I choose to, you know, to have this be part of our next season, but it does really enforce team group, you know, teamwork. And working as a group and being able to participate as a group, and it allows kids, I think, to work communally towards an objective.
Well, that's interesting. Well, let's talk more about parents' expectations. How often do you find that they have expectations that are hurting their kids' performance?
You know, I don't. What's funny is it's typically a secondary conversation that I have, meaning they won't come to me typically and say, gosh, Doug, I want my kid to have more playing time, but I will see it in the way that it affects them when they come to a next practice or when they come to a game. For example, I've got one parent who will remain nameless who wants her son to play goalie in lacrosse. That's what she wants him to play. Now, I've had he's a wonderful kid, and he's an incredible athlete. But if you get him when mom's not around, now mom takes it upon herself to be around quite a bit, but when you can get him when mom's not around, he will say, you know, gosh, I really love defense. But that's a real quandary, because he is always, literally, he's almost kind of looking for mom and worried about mom when she's set it upon herself, because she's, I mean, and I know this for a fact, she's thinking high school and college, and he wants to play defense, and it's a very, meaning I don't get that, you know, there aren't that many parents who are forthright enough to come up to me and say, Doug, I want to talk to you about something, and I wish they did, and I would hope they felt that they could. They don't, and so what happens is I can sense it in the kid. And I can sense where the kid's been driven to do that. And interestingly, another parent would be the parent who was the one who wanted to do the statistics. You know, and it was because they were driven and were looking for something more, or had some undue expectation that they were placing upon the child, that I saw in not necessarily their performance as much as their either passion or interest in the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So what you're saying is that you indirectly found out about the pressures that parents were putting on the kids through the kids themselves.
through the kids themselves, because I'm, you know, I have my reputation as a coach, and I guess it's a good thing that I'm always growing my team. It's a little bit of a challenge this year because I'm going to have a heck of a lot of kids, but I'm pretty much of a, I'm part goofball and part disciplinarian, but they kind of know, they know when it's time for us as a group to do what we need to do, but I'm also a bit sillier about certain things. So we have our times where we can goof off and we can have fun. So in that sense, I'm very accessible, and we have a very close relationship as a group. But they also know when, they also know the kind of, you know, the fine line between when we're too close as coach and athlete and when we're not.
Right.
You know, but so they do feel as though they can confide in me, and I do as much as I can at the beginning of every season to have an individual talk. We've got enough coaches where we'll be running stations, and I'll individually pull every kid, and I'll say, what, I ask this every year, and I'll still ask it this year, even though we're going to specialize more. I'll say, what positions do you want to play? And I'll ask them so that I can make sure I'm meeting their needs in terms of learning about the game, because they should still be learning.
Right. But that's why you're so popular.
You kind of
backed out of saying that you were popular. Well, Patrick, what's your view about the parents putting these expectations on the kids, or this pressure, I guess, and you don't find out about it except through the kids themselves?
Yeah, Doug, we talk about this all the time at the Ultimate Sports Parent and Kids Sports Psychology, because it's such a big issue. And what I like to do is I like to separate goals and expectations and make sure that parents really understand the difference between striving for a goal versus having these strict expectations, which I think are pressure. All expectations are pressure that kids feel. And one of the things that we talk about is, I was just talking to one of my MGCPs, as a matter of fact. I certify coaches in my system called the Mental Game Coaching Professional, and she's a soccer coach and a soccer mental coach and is working with some club players. She says the coaches expect perfection from them. They expect them not to make mistakes, and then some of the coaches ride the kids for making mistakes because they think that that's going to lead them to listen more and be more attentive. And really, if the coach's view is completely different than if you go to the players and you say, what type of effect are these expectations that the coaches have on you to not make any mistakes? They're all scared to death to make mistakes. They have fear of failure, fear of making mistakes. They don't want to get chewed out. And it's a completely different world for what the coaches think is right and for what the players are really feeling from the communication from the coaches, all because of these very high expectations the coaches carry. So for me, it's very important for coaches and parents to understand there's a difference between expectations, which are demands and pressures, versus goals, which aren't set in stone, that you're continually striving for and can be set on anything from long-term to immediate, very immediate goals.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I can sense that pressure is going to be harder and harder for these kids as they get older. I that's why I like this age that I'm in. One of the things that a great kind of teacher of mine and friend of mine locally did for me years ago was, he sent me these wonderful quotes, a series of probably 40 or 50 quotes. And I literally, when I first started coaching these kids in second grade, what I do is I'll take the quotes, I'll print them out, and I'll find a quote particularly to what you're talking about, which is failure, and failure or the perceived failure or perceived that whole concept of that. I don't want these kids to ever feel that. And so what I'll do is I'll cut a quote out from Michael Jordan, who got cut from his high school team. I'll cut a quote out from Magic Johnson or from John Wooden, did these phenomenal quotes. And I hand it to the kids. I physically hand out a piece of paper at the end of the practice, and I would give that. The reason I handed it to them rather than just putting it on a piece of, rather than just quoting it to my group, is because it often got back, particularly when they were in second grade and still having, still trying to understand what a quote might mean. If I'm talking about, we're all different colored snowflakes, or, something a little bit that has a little bit of, kind of questioning to what it might be, which is great because ideally they're taking it home and they're saying, hey, Mom or Dad, check this out. Coach Donaldson gave me that. What does it mean? And if I can do that, where there's a dialogue between the parent and the kid about failure, expectations, and understanding, particularly at this age, that there ain't no failure in my system. And so you're right. It is that difference between a perception from a coach and a perception of an athlete.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And hopefully we can work with you and some of your experts in the future.
I'd love to. I've got a number of folks who have been just phenomenal, and in some of our training plans and curriculums, we do have these wonderful kind of 10 or 12 vignettes on coaching technique, parent expectations, and so there are a few of those folks that I'd love to introduce you to who I think can be incredibly valuable for your audience.
Great.
And you're at playsportstv.com?
Exactly, www.playsportstv.com.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.